Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation today comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, where the father of a boy with an unclean spirit cries out to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." It's pretty easy for us to believe. But when it's time to put your money where your mouth is and prove the fact that, yes, I really do believe that, sometimes it becomes a different story. But we show our belief every day without even thinking about it. When the light at the intersection turns green, you pause a moment and pull out into the intersection, expecting that the oncoming traffic would remain stopped. You believe that your doctor is going to administer you medication that will lower your blood pressure or your sugar or a myriad of other things. You believe he's going to work for your own good. And you believe these things because typically past history often predicts future results. But what happens when that belief turns to doubt? When your beliefs get tested? It's common, even among the strongest of Christians, that during difficult times, we suffer from a weakening of faith, a doubt of our beliefs. And sometimes even teeter on the verge of unbelief. And that's why it's so important for us to fix our eyes on Christ Jesus. Because Jesus alone can turn your unbelief into belief. He alone is the founder, perfecter, and sustainer of your faith. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus, Peter, James, and John just have come down from the mountain of transfiguration. They had just been up there alone with Jesus and had a mountaintop experience, witnessing Jesus' glory, witnessing Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus. But then they came down the mountain, and waiting for them at the bottom were 9 disciples and a crowd of scribes arguing. It seems that the crowd was surprised and amazed that Jesus came upon their argument. It's like, well, gee, Jesus got here just in the nick of time. We were just talking about him. We needed him here. The 9 disciples were unsuccessful in casting out an unclean spirit from a tormented boy. The father most likely brought the boy to that place because he thought Jesus was going to be there. But when Jesus wasn't there, the disciples thought they'd give a crack at it. It wasn't their first attempt at casting out unclean spirits. There was a period earlier where Jesus sent out many disciples with authority over unclean spirits. St. Luke records that the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And it wasn't as if this demon was so much different than any others that they had faced. The problem here, as we hear in the end of the text, they forgot about prayer. The disciples had gotten complacent and confident in their own abilities. They'd fallen into that same thinking that their ancestors had for generations, that we remember in the Old Testament, every time it seems when God would bail them out or save them or perform a miracle, it wasn't very long later that they thought, oh, we saved ourselves. It was by our own works and deeds that we got out of that jam or defeated that army. They thought that their faith was in themselves, and they would turn their backs on God. And that's what happened with these 9 disciples. They had come to trust in themselves rather than trusting in the one who had given them authority, authority over all things. They had taken their eyes off of Jesus, the giver of faith and the giver of salvation. And as usual, the disciples just didn't get it. When they were alone in the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." You know what it's like to become confident in yourself, going on day after day in your rut of your life, staying between the curb and the center line, but we forget about going to God in prayer. We forget about calling out to Him with praise and thanksgiving. Rather than calling out in the name of the Lord, the disciples were turned inward. And it happens to the strongest of the Christians. During difficult times, even the most of difficult times, we too fail to call out on the name of our Lord Jesus. And that causes our faith to suffer and our belief to teeter on unbelief. The man in our text, he just wanted his child to be healed. He was in anguish. He wanted the little boy to be restored to health. And we can sympathize. Who doesn't want their child to be healthy? But it's not always according or in the will of the mysteries of God. Unfortunately, some children are born with diseases, others with disabilities. And it's not just children. Afflictions and illness strike at any age. And these hardships and tribulations can test your faith, and it also tests your relationships. It can pit husband against wife, brother against sister, child against parent. And when these tribulations arise, the devil is waiting nearby. He likes to see you divided, and then he gets up on his bully pulpit and goes to work. He shouts that God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. Your God is nothing more than a fantastic fairy tale. Satan wants you to worship yourself and trust in your own faith and doubt your Heavenly Father's loving kindness and his ever-present faithfulness. Satan wants you to believe in something. He wants you to believe in anything rather than the one who has promised to hear your prayer and answer your prayers. St. Peter reminds us, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." The boy's father is in anguish. And in his desperation, he's at the end of the rope, and he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He didn't want compassion just on his son. It was, "Help us. Have mercy on us. Have compassion on us." And then he reveals his personal battle with unbelief, saying, "If you can do anything." That's where you and I struggle with our unbelief. You depend on the doctors and the nurses and the lab technicians, thinking that between you and them, everything's going to come together. Everything's going to remain under control. And it's only when things really, really get serious that you remember to drag out your weak faith and pray, "God, if you can do anything, please help me." The fact remains that you are not in control, and you never have been in control. That's why Luther in the Catechism calls us to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. He alone is all-powerful. The psalmist writes, "Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Jesus tells us that not even a sparrow will fall to the ground apart from God's knowledge. So it is not if God can, but it is when God wills. The disciples in our text had misplaced faith, just as you and I have misplaced faith. The boy was battling an evil spirit, just as you and I daily battle the evil spirits in this broken world sent out by the devil. Satan throws out every lie imaginable at you, hoping to cause you to begin to have a faint doubt and then a greater doubt, hoping you'll fall into unbelief. Only Jesus could save the boy, and only Jesus can save you. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say to have faith in the world or faith in the creations of man, or he doesn't tell you believe in something, believe in anything. He calls you to have faith in him. In our text, Jesus says, all things are possible for one who believes. He also told his disciples, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. He told them, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. As we talk about many times, belief in Jesus isn't something that you can create on your own. It's not something that you can go out and seek and find, and it's not a destination that you work toward. Because before the Holy Spirit called you to faith in the gospel, you were dead in your trespasses. Your ears were stopped up, and you would not listen to God's word. Dead in your trespasses, you came to the font, where God breathed life into you, where he came to you by the power of the Holy Spirit and created new life in you, creating a new heart within you, giving you the Holy Spirit. And this faith that was received at the font is continually nourished and fertilized within word and sacrament. So what do? You cry out, I believe, help my unbelief. Look to Jesus' word of promise in baptism. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And St. Paul reminds you that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Paul also reminds you that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Now maybe you're thinking, Pastor, I do believe, I do pray. So why doesn't God heal my child? Why doesn't God heal my hurts? Heal my broken heart? Take away my suffering and pain. Well, those are mysteries of God. We look to the cross of Jesus and pray, I believe, help my unbelief. God's will and his timing are mysteries, but Jesus knows your sufferings. He knows your hurts and your pains because he took them all to the cross. and suffered all in your stead, so that your suffering would only be temporary. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Forever who would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It is a daily battle, but you have assurance that the war has already been won. On the cross, on Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he has declared victory over sin, death, and the devil. There will be trials and tribulations in this life, and there will be times when you feel like you're hanging on to the last thread of your rope. But you're not going to face anything that Jesus has not already faced. And most assuredly, those things you go through, you will not go through them alone. You have Jesus' promise. Cry out, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus promises you, behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.